Hello, everybody. Welcome to Genesis 37, the B-side. A few extra insights and observations that didn't quite fit in the main audio guide. Now, our story is about Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers. It's amazing how many Bible stories revolve around sibling rivalry. Think about it. It's amazing how much strife in the world and in your life comes from sibling rivalry. Seriously, can you imagine the difference in your family if all the siblings in all the generations got along? Actually, three generations of it come up in this one story. You've got Joseph and his brothers, of course, but then think about Jacob. Don't miss the irony here that Papa Jacob is deceived with the blood of a dead goat from the flock. Remember how he deceived his dad? He slaughtered a goat from the flock and he lied to his dad, all to get the blessing away from his brother. And then it goes all the way back to Jacob's dad, Isaac. Remember the feud between Isaac and his brother Ishmael? Here we have the descendants of Isaac, and they sell one of their own to the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Isaac's brother. Now, at the heart of the sibling rivalry is envy. Ecclesiastes 4:4 tells us, "And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind." Envy is destructive. It destroys joy, destroys relationships. But watch carefully. There are some contributing factors here. The first one is the favoritism. Jacob favored Joseph. Remember verse 3. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age." Now you'd think Jacob would know better. His dad favored his brother, and that did not end well. A parent who favors a child damages all their children, including the favorite. In Acts, Peter declares how true it is that God does not show favoritism. It's important to know that our Father in heaven doesn't show this kind of favoritism. And James insists in James 2:1 that believers must show no partiality. Now, another factor here is Jacob setting up his son to be a snitch. "Go check on your brothers," he says. Now, parenting is no easy task. And sometimes when you have one good kid, it can seem like it's easier to put the good one in charge, or worse yet, to get them to tattle on the others. But it is dangerous to do anything that sets your kids against each other. They'll do enough of that on their own. Parents have to fight against the snitch mentality. We want our kids to be good, but not by telling us how bad their siblings are. And one last observation here at the end of the chapter. When the brothers lie to their father, Alistair Begg noted that it is virtually impossible to commit just one sin. There's always a follow-up. Usually it's more lies to keep covering for the first one. And these brothers will live in those lies for 20 years. The lies become a part of their home, part of their family dynamic. Lies and guilt don't generally make for healthy family dynamics. We will see these guys 20 years later, still unable to get past the guilt. I'm sure they thought they could, but it didn't work. And they also didn't get the extra affection they were looking for from Dad. Sin does not pay off. And one more observation as we look to what's ahead. Joseph's story reminds us that sometimes the center of God's will is the eye of the storm. The will of God and the sovereignty of God are hard concepts to grapple with. And most of the time, they could only be comprehended in the long view of time, looking back to how it all worked out. Everything about Joseph's situation in this moment looks awful. What hope is there? What good is there to see? There's none. There is only faith. Now, we have the benefit of time. We can turn the pages faster than Joseph can live them. We can skip ahead to see purpose, to see Joseph declare, "What you intended for evil, God meant for good." That's amazing. Think about it. His brothers' motives were envy, greed, and hatred. But God used it. God worked his good. But then put yourself back in Joseph's place at 17 years old, sold into slavery. How can Joseph see that now, in the midst of it? His only answer is faith. He has to trust God for what he cannot see. And you and I are called to the same. We are called to a life of walking by faith and not by sight. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's it for the B-side. Thanks for joining me for the extras. Hope you enjoyed it. The B-side is a new concept for us, so let us know what you think about it on facebook.com/throughtheword. And we'll see you in chapter 38.